the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today is the last Sunday of the liturgical year, and it represents the end of the history of the world, the day of the last judgment, when our Lord will summon everybody from their graves. Everybody who has ever lived in the history of the world will be summoned by their judge, our Lord Jesus Christ, on that day. When our Lord speaks of the last judgment in the Gospels and the end of the world, he wants to give us a certain indication, certain signs by which we may know that it is, in fact, the end of the world. At the same time, he does not want to give us a date. He does not want to tell us exactly when it is going to be happening. So rather, he wants us to be on the watch. He wants us to look, to try to discern when the end of times might be near. So today, I would like to speak about some other general information about the last judgment in the end times that is not found in the gospel. This information comes from a saint, Saint Louis de Montfort, and it concerns the role of Our Lady in the end times. As you know, Our Lady has been in the news recently with this scandalous document of the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith. And I think it's important in light of this document for us to understand this particular saint, Saint Louis de Montfort, his perspective on the role of Our Lady for our times. So first of all, we have to understand Saint Louis de Montfort's perspective on the role that God chose for Our Lady. Basically, Saint Louis tries to establish that God the Trinity chose to associate Our Lady with every aspect of the working of our redemption and our salvation. Now, of course, he points out that God didn't have to do this. When you have all power, that means you can do everything without needing the help of anybody else. So it's not like God is looking to Our Lady to provide him a strength or an ability that God does not already have. But rather, God, out of his free will, is choosing to associate this blessed creature, Our Lady, in every aspect of his work of saving us from sin. It's kind of like you have a situation in the home where you have the father of the family and the front door of the house is broken. And the father says to himself, I need to fix the front door. So he's going to fix the front door. And of course, he has all the skills necessary. He has all the tools. He has all the know-how. He can completely fix the front door without the help of anybody else in the household. But he says to himself, I'm going to ask my daughter to assist me to fix the front door. She's going to be there. She's going to hand me my tools. She's going to hold the ladder or whatever. Why would he do such a thing when he doesn't need her help, when he doesn't need her assistance? Well, of course, we can think of many reasons why he would want to do this. Perhaps he wants to spend some time with his daughter. Perhaps he wants to give her an opportunity to help out with the maintenance of the house. Perhaps he just wants to do it out of his own goodness. He wants her to learn, for instance. There's many reasons that we can think of why it would be good for a father of family to make this choice to ask his daughter to help him out. And this is exactly what is going on when it comes to our redemption and our salvation. God doesn't need Our Lady to, as it were, fix the front door of heaven. This is like the door of heaven got broken because of original sin, because of our sin. The human race broke the door into heaven, and no one could go into heaven from that point. And God the Father says to himself, I'm going to fix the door. How am I going to do it? And he says, I'm going to decide to do it by choosing one of my creatures to be my assistant in this work of redemption and salvation. This is a very beautiful thing, a very beautiful aspect of our faith. It tells us something about God, how good God is, how good our Father is. So Our Lady, he asks Our Lady for her help. She consents. and he accomplishes our redemption and our salvation through her. We know what this meant for Our Lady during her lifetime. It began by her accepting to become the mother of our Lord. And then she takes care of our Lord all throughout his long hidden life. When it came time for him to start his public life, he works his first miracle at Our Lady's request. And Our Lady is around during the whole time of his public life. And then finally, when it comes time for him to pay the price for our sins, Our Lady is there offering him on the cross. But despite the fact that Our Lady is the greatest creature made by God, and she performed this great role that God gave her, the fact is that during her life, people really didn't know much about her. Like when they saw her on the streets, you know, they weren't saying to themselves, this is the greatest creature in the world that ever has been or ever will be. She was rather hidden during her life. She didn't have like a public life. She wasn't going around working miracles. She wasn't preaching, right? And so she passed her life being relatively hidden. And even in the first centuries of the church, while there was mention of Our Lady and there was some devotion to Our Lady, by the providence of God, the devotion to Our Lady and, let's just say, the understanding and appreciation for the role that God had given her did not really flourish until later in the history of the church. It was in the providence of God that later on, Our Lady would have something of a public life, that her presence would be felt more in the church, that she would intervene more in the history of the church. She does this especially through her apparitions. We think about her apparitions in the Middle Ages. She appears to St. Dominic, gives him the rosary. She appears to St. Simon Stock, gives him the scapular. She appears to the founders of the Servite Order and gives them this devotion to her seven sorrows. And this is like it caused an explosion of Marian devotion in the Middle Ages. And then later on in our own times, there are these really outstanding, incredible apparitions of Our Lady. You can think of Our Lady appearing to St. Bernadette at Lourdes, or to St. Catherine Laboure in Paris, or to the Three Children of Fatima in Portugal. Incredible apparitions that really concerned the welfare of the church, the welfare of the world. So when we have this perspective, when we see these two things, and I would say more specifically, when St. Louis de Montfort sees this, there's two things that he's noticing in his book, True Devotion to Mary. The first thing is God wanted to associate Our Lady with the work of our redemption and salvation. That's the first thing he notices and establishes. Second thing he notices is that it's in the providence of God that Our Lady's influence, her role, her power, her prominence was meant to increase over time. And then St. Louis puts these two facts together and he draws a conclusion. He draws the conclusion that Our Lady's role at the end of times is going to be particularly powerful. He says the following: it was through Mary that the salvation of the world was begun, and it is through Mary that it must be consummated. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, Mary has to be made known and revealed by the Holy Ghost, in order that through her, Jesus Christ may be known, loved, and served. God wishes to reveal and make known Mary, the masterpiece of his hands, in these latter times. So there's this vision of St. Louis that as time goes on and we get closer to the end of the world, which you don't know when it's going to be, the influence of the devil and the power of the devil is going to increase, but also the influence and the power of Our Lady. That these two are enemies, that God has established these two enemies in the history of his creatures, between the devil and our lady. And we would get to the denouement, the completion of human history. Their opposition is going to be particularly prominent. And those who are going to save their souls are going to need more strength, more grace in the end times than they needed before because of the power of Satan. I think we see that this is definitely being fulfilled. Here are the words of St. Louis. Mary must be terrible to the devil and his crew as an army ranged in battle, principally in these latter times, because the devil, knowing that he has but little time, and now less than ever, to destroy souls, will every day redouble his efforts and his combats. So as we get closer to the end of the world, the contrast between those who are the slaves of Satan and those who belong to Our Lady will become clearer. It's like the division between good and evil becomes clearer over time. When you come to the climax of the battle between good and evil. And those who are on the good side will belong to Our Lady. Those who are on the bad side will be the slaves of the devil. So, again, I quote from St. Louis, "The power of Mary over all the devils will especially shine forth in the latter times, when Satan will lay his snares against her heel, that is to say, her humble slaves and her poor children, whom she will raise up to make war against him. They shall be little and poor in the world's esteem, and abased before all like the heel, trodden underfoot and persecuted as the heel is by the other members of the body. But in return for this, they shall be rich in the grace of God, which Mary shall distribute to them abundantly." So what does all this mean for us, my dear faithful, for us who live in the 21st century? Well, it's interesting that St. Louis wrote his book over 300 years ago, yet we are seeing the prophetic language that he used in that book coming true. It's definitely been fulfilled. We think of the incredible grasp, the incredible power that the devil has today that he did not have before. We say especially through technology. Technology has given to human beings a lot more power than they had before. But with more power comes upon the possibility both for greater good and for greater evil. And unfortunately, a lot of those people who really have control over technology are not using it for the good. So the devil has a way to, we may say, extend his tentacles into the intimate lives of so many people today and ruin those lives through evil. Meanwhile, we've seen, as I said, that the power of Our Lady has increased. Her interventions in human history have increased over time. And if we notice that these predictions of St. Louis have come true, then we say, it makes sense. His perspective on the providential course of history makes sense. And so the best thing that I can do if I'm living in these times where the devil is more powerful, when it's harder to save my soul than it has been in the past, because the devil has more influence, it's more difficult today. The number of souls falling into hell, said Our Lady of Fatima to three children, is like snowflakes, you know. The percentage of people saving their souls today is surely lesser than has been in the past. So many people going to hell. And then we realize that, the solution to that especially is devotion to Our Lady. It's so important for us to be close to Our Lady, and that she is the one when God has given power to rescue us from the devil. And it's really one or the other. We're either going to be like slaves of sin, slaves of the devil, or we're going to be dedicated to Our Lady. And that means, first of all, of course, that we manage to pray her rosary each day. And by that, I mean like Sunday to Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Like every day, we find some time to pray the rosary, and more particularly a good time to pray the rosary, when we can pray the rosary well. That we don't miss days in praying our rosary, just like we don't miss days eating, we don't miss days praying our rosary, so that we have this closeness to her, and she's saving us from the snares of the devil in these difficult times. But going beyond that, it's good for us as well to follow St. Louis' recommendation that we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady. This is, of course, not required of Catholics. You are required to come to Mass on Sundays, but you're not required to consecrate yourself to the Blessed Virgin Mary as her slave. But what I'm saying is that if we perceive that this is the plan of God, and this is the way things are going, Satan's becoming more powerful, Our Lady's placed in a position of power by God, then it's just simply a smart thing to do. We say to ourselves, it's wise of me, if I want to save my soul, if I want to save myself from the devil, that I consecrate myself to Our Lady and try to live that consecration by uniting all of my actions to her, by living as close to her as I can, really being devoted to her. So this is supernatural wisdom by which we can expect to save our souls. And this is all the more true and necessary if we find ourselves battling sin, particularly the sin of impurity. We know that it's mainly through the sin of impurity that the devil drags souls to hell. That is the primary way. If we think about all the souls going to hell, how many of them ultimately lost because of the sin of impurity? Surely it's most of them. Most of them because of the fact that somehow this is how the easiest way for the devil to drag souls to hell. We know that that's definitely what's going on in our own day. So what better plan on the part of God to defeat this particular tactic of the devil than by opposing this pure virgin to him, and by ensuring for those who are devoted to Our Lady and really get to say the rosary every day and really try to live that consecration to her, that they'll be protected from this particular snare of the devil, to be able to overcome their habits of mortal sin and refuse those temptations of the devil in our own day. So, my dear faithful, the fact is that these times, this 21st century, it's more difficult than in the past to save our souls. That's the bad news. But on the other hand, the good news is that Our Lady is there for us. If we are willing to consecrate ourselves to her, if we are really willing to be devoted to her in this life, then she will certainly save us from the snares of the devil. She will assist us to save our soul. And one day we will be able to reign gloriously with her in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.